was ma wa mi le le was ma wa mi le le
to us.
Yes.
You are so good to us.
Yes,
oh Lord, never ever nobody has been that good to us.
Amen.
Lord, you have taken everything about us and you have turned it into good. When we were not able to save ourselves, you came. When we were in our mess, and we were not able to turn to our God, oh Lord, you didn't spare the heavens. You took it on you and you came to us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and all the honor. We give you all the glory due to God.
Amen.
For you alone, are God.
Hallelujah.
We thank Amen. You. We Amen. Thank you. And as we now set ourselves to hear from you.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you just let your anointing descend on every one of us, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Avail our heart, avail our mind, and avail our soul. Yes. Let everything inside of us and all around us, oh God, listen to hear from you. Just not to hear from you, but to accept what you say and act on it. And Father, let your word come through as you propose it to come through. And let it be to our soul the nurturing and the food that is needed. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is good. And all the time. Amen, amen, amen. You are right about that. For if he wasn't good, I believe a lot of things would have happened and we would not be here today. But he is good and we are here today. Praise him, praise him. Today, on our title, Conveniency, I want to subtitle it today, Here I Am. Here I Am. It wouldn't be a good thing to seek only for convenience. All the time, you're looking for convenience. It is not a good thing. Sometimes you got to take the stairs just for your health's sake. Leave the convenience of the elevator a little bit. It is not a good thing to always seek for convenience. Amen? I've seen that over and over again, and I'm asking myself, is that true that people can be that lazy? You know, I'm a bus driver. So you, when you are late, and you know if you do not push this thing a little bit harder, you will get to the next transfer point late, and people won't catch the next bus that they need to go where they want to go. Okay, it's that at this point that you see somebody standing at a stop, and this person is not sick. This person is healthy. You see it, they're just dancing to their phone or they're dancing. And you come and you stop You open the doors. They take the time to come on the bus. And they take the time to sit. And then the next stop, which is not even half a mile, that's when they ring the bell. You turn around and you see who is getting out, the same person that was dancing to. They have the convenience of a bus, and they want to use it as lazy as they can. You know, if that person would have walked this less than half a mile, it would have been something for their own health. Conveniency. People are looking to use that all the time. All the time. We shouldn't do that with God. We should not do that with God. For there is a saying in French that goes like that. A vaincre sans péril, l'on triomphe sans gloire. I seek for a translation of this saying in English, and believe me, I don't feel it well translated. In English, it says, to conquer without peril, one triumphs without glory. It's not that stronger in my mind. When it is said in English, in French, I'm sorry. When it's said in French, it's like a, you got to go through fire so you can turn around and see what you have become out of this fire. To understand that you did something going through the fire. Does it make a little sense to you? We need to sometimes accept the fire so we can value what we get after we cross the fire. Amen? Let's read in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And today we are going to just brush everything in Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 1, and I'm going all the way to verse 10. Verse 1 says, and I'm reading in the English Standard Version. Amen? It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Excuse me, I need some Kleenex because I might be crying sometime. Abraham, the first of the patriarch that you can find in the Bible. This is the guy that went from his father's house. Thank you. From his father's house, not knowing where he was going. Because God said, go. He just took on himself to go. Didn't ask, where do you want me to go? He said, go. Get out, and he start going. So now, God is talking to him. And what is it that he's saying by saying, after all these things? You remember? He had to kind of bargain with God to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because Lot was there. Lot, his nephew, was there with his family. He bargained. And at the end, God said, I'm not going to spare the city, but I'm going to at least spare your nephew. Amen? So after all these things, Abraham had to fight against Abimelech. After all these things, God said to Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Verse 2, he said, take your son, your only son is Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Once again, go out of the house of your father and out of your country and go to the land I will show you. Here again, on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And he went out. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, he didn't take one day. He walked 3 days. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Wow. It wasn't yet the place. Third day, he saw it from afar. Amen. Verse 5. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over. We'll go over there and worship and come back again to you. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, and he said, what did he say? Here I am. We need to answer sometimes, here I am. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar. He took the time. He built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. I don't know how you see this story. For a long time, I've been hearing this story. I've been hearing people preach from this story. I've been hearing even people who are not Christian talk about this story. And it looks like people are talking about it just like some fake things, just like a thing of a past. It has no value. Amen? I want you to consider this. Abraham was not in his country. Abraham had nobody around him except for his wife that was barren. He had people, but those people were not people that could help him with anything relating to his traditions, relating to his relationship with God. It was people of another nation. See, we have to understand that what Abraham did here was not an easy thing to do. Like, people kind of want to let it seem like. People talk about it as something that every one of us can do. It's like me taking Zabdi. Because God said, that only boy that you have, I don't know how he's going to tell that to me, so I hear. I don't know how he's going to talk to me, so I hear. I don't know who among those, the human beings that we are, would listen to God say, take the only son. And he took the time to say to Abraham, take your son. That's God talking. Your only son, and he called the name. Your only son, Isaac. Remember, he had another son called Ishmael before that. God here is saying, your only son. And what he says, whom you love. And do what? Sacrifice him as a burnt sacrifice. Huh? You know who Abraham, you know who Isaac was for Abraham? You know who he was for Abraham? Let's read Genesis 15. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. At that time he was called Abram. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Big promise. We all like that. I'm going to give you $1 million. Yes. But Abraham said, oh Lord, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. See, sometimes you can promise anything greater than whatsoever people are expecting. Amen? But it will not catch their attention, because one thing is missing in their life, and that thing is so valuable that they do not want anything else. God promises him what? Come on. He said, I am your shield. Your reward for what you have done is going to be very great. That's the God that took him through all his battles. He's going to be my shield, and he's going to make my reward very great. But Abraham did not see of all this promise anything important but a heir. He wanted a heir. He wanted somebody to inherit from him. Amen? And that was so important for him that he never contests God. Go out of the house of your father. Go out of your country. He didn't ask a question. He went. This time, it was so important for him that he will ask God. Oh Lord, what will you give me for a continued childless, and the heir of my house is Elijah of Damascus? That was a slave in the house. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. You wanted a heir. He's giving you so many that you cannot number. Still, Abraham was not happy even with all this innumerable hairs. He wanted to see a son from his wife. Amen? And God is saying, you're going to have so many. Just give me one first. I want that one first. You know, God never forgets and never fails to accomplish his promise. Let's read Genesis 18 to see how he's going to do it. Genesis 18, verses 10. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Listen to what Sarah did. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind Abraham. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? You see, we start with God. Amen? We give him all our attention. Amen? He starts doing things and we start following and we are happy, and then what is our want? Remember we talked about want, desires, and needs? What is our want is so important that everything that he is doing around us is not seen. We don't even pay attention to what he is doing great around us. Because we have a want. Until I get that, I cannot believe this God. Until I get that, my faith is still in the, how do you call it? My faith is still in my pocket. I will check it out when he gives me my want. I will keep this faith behind me until he gives me my want, and so I show it. This is Abraham, who went out of his house, out of the house of his father, far away from his country. And God is blessing him with all he did never have in his father's house. He got how many slaves? He got how many donkeys? He got how many? He got a huge treasure. You remember? It was so much that they had to split him and his nephew. All these blessings. His want was Isaac. Isaac was so important for him that he could not even see all the blessings that was around him. Hey, my brother. Hey, my sister. Don't say no. That was Abraham. You too. Me too. We go day after day without thanking God just for the air that we breathe. We'd go day after day not thanking God because we are in health. We are alive. We go weeks, months doing everything without thanksgivings to God because one thing we want, we haven't had. Believe me, when you have that thing that you want, the thanksgiving is going to be like a second. And then after that, it's going to be dancing around until you lose that want that you have received. And then, remember that you did not think of celebrating God for that want that you have. Some people say, when I have $1 million, I'm going to give $100,000 to God. And God is giving us $500 every month. $5,000 every month, I'm sorry. And we are like, oh, I'm going to wait until I get $1 million to give him $100,000. He is asking that you start by giving the $500,000. So he sees that you are obedient with 500, and then he will raise it to 10,000, and then he will raise it to 20,000, and then he will raise it all the way to the million. But until I get $1 million, I'm not giving a tithe, I'm not giving any offering. Until I get this $1 million, I'm not going to be thinking of all these people out there suffering. Until I get this $1 million, I'm not alive because I got to get this $1 million. This is what is the problem of all of us. We are looking to the want so much that we forget the need that he is fulfilling. Yeah. You need a car. In your choice is a Rolls Royce. Or your choice is a a Benz. Or your choice is a Porsche. My daughter likes a G-Wagon. Every time she sees a G-Wagon. G-Wagon, G-Wagon, G-Wagon. That's how she does. G-Wagon, G-Wagon, G-Wagon. And her mom would say, Aurora. Yes, mom, it's a G-Wagon. So you're looking for a car. He knows that you cannot make the payment of a Rolls Royce. And he gives you a Honda Civic. 1994 Honda Civic. Rides well. Takes you to work. Takes you home. You can go anywhere and everywhere. But it's just a Civic, so I'm not satisfied with that yet. I want this Rolls Royce. Until I get this Rolls Royce, I'm not going to say thank you to God. Abraham, the patriarch, was in the same situation. But God never, 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 never failed to accomplish what he has promised. Never. He never fails. Let's go to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, let's read verse 1 through 7. It says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he has promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore for him, Isaac. And you know what Isaac means? It means he laughs. He laughs. And what did Sarah say about that? Verse 6, and Sarah said, God had made laughter of me. God has made laughter of me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. Huh. That's what you wanted. Right? That's what you wanted. It is given to you. The miraculous way. It is given to you. Like people will never believe that it will happen. It's been given to you. And what do? You call it, people will laugh at me. Because I wanted a Rolls Royce in 2001. Now it is 2020. And it's now that's you giving me that Rolls Royce. What can I do with a Rolls Royce? You remember I saw this young lady in the neighborhood over there, and I needed the Rolls Royce. Now she's old, and I'm old, and you're giving me a Rolls Royce now. What am I going to do with a Rolls Royce? That's what happened to us. That's what happened to us. We do not thank God for every little thing that he does for us. And we should, because he owes nobody nothing. He owes us nothing, not even the air that we breathe. If he decides to take us out today, nobody will blame him and nobody will judge him. He is God. He is God. So, Abraham. Abraham said, I'll name my son Isaac, for he laughs.
You sung a song here that says, you take everything that the enemy meant for evil, and he makes it to be good. Amen? He has promise. He keeps his promises. Even if we do not value everything as we should. If I were him, you know what I would have done? I would have taken Abraham out, just like he took him out to say, look at the stars. I will take him out and I will say, do you see the stars? I told you I would give you so many that you could not count. You see him? This is the last time. And I would slap him, bah! So everybody hears and knows that I am God. But I'm not God, and that's good. Good for myself. Good for myself. For if I were God, it wouldn't be good for me. Would not. So now, Abraham have a heir. He has a heir. Amen? You got your Rolls Royce now. Amen? And God said, listen, Abraham, this Isaac, I've seen you. You are so proud. You are so happy. You have joy now. You can't even sit 2 minutes far away from him. Isaac, where are you? Isaac, where are you? Hey, what did you do for Isaac? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? The best milk. The best milk. Isaac would drink that milk first, before Abraham, before Sarah, before everybody in the house. The best of the cake, the bread, Isaac first. God saw it. That's something that pleases him. Now, I want you, Abraham, to take that boy. And I want you, don't do it behind your backyard. Don't do it where everybody will see. Don't do it just for one person other than you and me and the boy to see. Ha ha! See how God does things? He acts directly from you to him, not relating with nobody else, not even the mother of the boy. Not even the mother of the boy. His action directed to you does not depend on I am or what I do. It is you and him. Remember, he didn't make two Adam. One, with all the power that he had, if he could make so many animals, make so many plants, he made one Adam. It means something. And even if you don't believe it, ask the science people. Is there any two human beings on this earth that has the same DNA? DNA that they have happened to discover not long ago. Not long ago.
He was already in the man that God has created in his image. And it is different from every human being among the 7 billion that are on the planet. Different. Hey, this is a God with so much knowledge, so much capacity of doing things. No errors. No errors. Amen? So, don't let nobody know. I didn't tell you to get everybody involved in your household. See, Abraham, he had an ear for God. He had an understanding of the demand of God. He had an understanding of the way God wants him to do things. He had his way of reacting to God. Amen? He was not like you said, burn my son. Oh no, I have Ishmael. That's the one I'm taking. Ishmael also is my son. Let's do Ishmael. Yeah, or Eliezer that is the one who was mentioned to God. The guy of Damascus, that's the guy that would have taken the hair if there was no Isaac. Let's take that one. Abraham knew that his God wants things done the way he wants them done, not the way you want them done. Not the way your intellect will tell you to do. Not the way you will let yourself inspire by people to do. He wants you to do it exactly like he wants you to do it. Because he relates to every one of us in a particular way, and he does not relate to everyone the same way. So take your son. The one you love so much. Go make of him a burnt sacrifice. Abraham, instead of alerting his wife, rose in the morning. He didn't wait for 2 days. He didn't wait for 3 days. He didn't wait for a year. He didn't wait for a decade. He rose the next morning. God may have told him at 8 a.m., he made sure nobody knew. He made sure nobody heard it. He made sure even Sarah did not know it, because if Sarah knew it, I don't know how it would go. I know if my wife knew what I would do with my daughter for God, if 911 did not come quick, I might not be alive. He didn't say nothing to Sarah. Two of his slaves, young. Don't take them old, because they're going to ask too much questions. Don't take them so intelligent that they can ask, what are you doing here? Young. He knows they won't ask questions. If he took a horse, if he took a horse, wouldn't be good. It's going to run too fast. It's going to attract everybody's attention. It's going to pick the looks of people. A donkey. Everybody knows. A donkey is the animal of service. So you put wood on a donkey, they know you're taking your wood somewhere. And he rose early in the morning. Don't let everybody wake up and see you. Early in the morning. My brother, my sister, when God asks us for our bread that we just got from him, and he said, this bread that I just gave you, you see this guy sitting at the corner over there, give it to him. But Lord, I am hungry. Me first. Myself first. Ah. Man, you gave me just $500. And my expenses are $500,000. And you want me to give this $5 to? She said, Evelyn, what am I going to do? You see our reasoning with God? You see our reasoning with God? That's how it is. But here, Abraham did not reason like that. Took him 3 days walk. Yeah. If you ask me to do a day walk, I mean, I used to do it, but not anymore. No, I used to walk back home because it was dire. I had to walk. When I was 7, I walked 7, until I got to, I became 11. I walk every morning 7 miles to go to school. Yeah. And it did not bother me. It was okay. Mom would not follow you. Dad doesn't have time for you. You go to school and you come back at night. And they feed you. And they tell you some, we used to listen to those fables that my mom used to tell us. It's a lot of fun. And you go to bed, you wake up early again, and you start walking. Nothing will happen to you. But now you tell me to walk from here to the capital? My friend. Today, buses are free. I'm not going to walk. Abraham walked 3 days. Certainly, 2 or 3 nights. He got to the point where he saw the mountain far, and God said, that's the mountain over there. And let me tell you something about mountains. You see it, and you think, oh, no, it's not that time. And you walk, and you walk, and you walk, and you walk. You get close, and it is still far. And you walk, and you're tired, and you get close. That's where you're going to sacrifice Isaac. He's not going to do it on level ground. It's up. You got to walk until all your knees and all your muscles and everything, your back and everything is tired. You got up there. When he got there, he didn't do it anyhow. Took his time to build an altar. Remember in the life of Abraham, when God told him to leave his father's house, his land, and to go where he will take him. When he got there, the first thing Abraham did is to build an altar. Ha! It's important. It's very, very important. It's very important building an altar for God in our life. Building an altar for God in our life. If you don't have this altar, when he asks you for sacrifice, it's difficult. It's difficult. You can't sacrifice. You don't have an altar and you don't have this you do not have this easiness of making an altar. Because you didn't learn.
He made an altar. He was used to sacrificing. Now, put Isaac, tie his own son, the son that he loved so much, tie him up, put him on the wood. Ha! I don't know. I can't do it. Lord, help me, because if you were me, there was no story. I would not be able to do it. I love my son so much that I will even forget that this God is the one who gave him to me at the time when I was not even expecting it. At the time when everybody said it was not possible. That's when he gave me that son. So, Abraham put his son on the wood. And now he was ready to slaughter him in obedience to God. He did not hesitate. He obeyed all the way to the last act. Every one of us, we know the end of the story. Muslim, they make of this a big feast. It's a fest. I'm sorry. A big fest in the Muslim community. The Jews, they obey that. Christian, we know about that. And even people who don't believe in God, they read about it and they think of it as a wow thing. This God that you believe in, this God that you worship, this God that you love so much, is a God of all righteousness. He will not let you do what is sin. Even though it looks like asking Abraham to kill his son was sin, who said, "Thou shalt not kill"? God. It's the same God that asked Abraham, "Do it." Yeah, he has his ways, and sometimes, my friend, it is difficult to understand. Is that really God? When you start asking yourself, "Is that really God?" you got to tell yourself, "I do not really know my God yet. I have to learn some more." Whenever you hear his voice and you are doubting, go back to the Bible. Go back to your knees. Check and check again. Seek to come to a perfect hearing and understanding of his voice. Because he says, "My sheep know my voice. And when they hear my voice, they follow me." They do not follow the robber. The robber has to fight and get them. But me, I say, "Come on," and they follow me. You got to seek to know the voice of the Lord so you can hear him and follow him. You got to seek and know for yourself the voice of God. When he speaks, you know it's him. Even if 10,000 voices speak at the same time, you know it's him. Believe me, my mother is dead. I have never heard any other voice that looks like my mother till today. I'm 59. My mother's voice, I know among all the voices. My father's voice, I know among all the voices. We got to know the voice of our God. For the evil one speaks. The world speaks. Ourself, we speak. We got to know this voice. And when we know this voice, it becomes easy to follow this voice. It becomes easy to obey this voice. And nobody will ever obey God to be displeased, to be betrayed, to be deceived. Never. 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 Seek to know his voice. Seek to hear this voice over and over and over again. Distinguish this voice out of all the voices that you may say, this I know, it is God, and there is no other that speaks like this voice, not even an angel. Because he can send an angel. But when it is him directly, I'm not boasting. I have a favor from him. When I doubt the voice that is talking to me, I don't act. I don't do it. I seek to hear someone. And even if it repeats, believe me, since I doubted the first time, the voice that repeats, I will seek for confirmation again and again. More than often, even if that voice repeats second time, if it is not God's voice, it stops there. And you forget about everything that voice said. But you have to be disciplined enough. You have to be disciplined enough to know that it is God. The voice that told me in Africa that I would come to America, that voice has spoken to me more than three times. I remember sitting here. My little brother was getting married. I wanted to send him money because traveling from here to Burkina Faso was not easy. It is costly. And I prefer sending him the money instead of spending all this time, this money to go over there for a wedding. I'm sitting on this bench. My tears all over. I crawl these steps all the way over there. And I pray, Lord, I want to hear from you. I know I do not deserve that you speak to me. I do not deserve that you say anything to me, for I am nothing but a sinner. But I know one thing that is sure. You are a good God. I know one thing that is sure. You answer prayers. I know one thing that is sure, my God. I will not come to you in vain. You will always answer me. And you will not let me go like an orphan. You will answer me. I prayed. I crawled back. And I sat here. My tears were just flowing. Lord, this is the last son of my mother. He wants nothing, not even one dime from me. All he wants is for me to come at his wedding. You know, I don't even make enough money to pay all my bills. How could I go over there? How will it happen, God?
Talk to me. What should I do? The voice that I heard in Africa when I was crying in a church in Africa, Lord, I've lost everything. I know I have sinned. What am I going to do? That's a shame for my family. It's a shame for myself. It's a shame for whosoever knows me. My friends won't see me anymore. That voice talked to me. And that voice told me, you are going to go to America. I never knew about America. I never thought about America. Is that true? I kept it inside of me. I kept it inside of me. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Hey, long story short, I am here. I am here. I'm American and I'm preaching in America. So the same voice talked to me here. And the same voice said, you are going to go to the wedding of your brother. And you're taking your wife and your daughter. Yeah, look at it. Look at it. It's not possible to the eyes of men, to the ears of men. You don't even have. My car was not running well. My car had a problem. It was not running well. I didn't have money to fix it. Now you're saying I'm going to America, to Africa? Believe you. Everything get together on time and we went to Africa and we came back. No shame, no lack of anything. The same voice. The same voice. So let somebody tell me that God does not exist. Let them tell me that God does not exist. And come inside of my heart and see what I'm saying about them. Enter my heart and just see what my heart is talking about somebody who says God does not exist. I'm seeing them like people without campus. It's true to me. It's true to me. Seek to know the voice of God. Abraham knew the voice of God. He didn't. What happened? He did not do the sin that he was about to do. God provided, like he said, a ram for the sacrifice. Today I'm saying, when God says, Evelyn, say, here I am. When God says, Brother Akinsola, say, here I am. Brother David, when he says, David Lance, say, here I am. Don't say, I'm going to look around to see who is. Say to him, here I am. Brother Raphael, he say, Raphael, say, here I am. He will never, ever let you down. He will never, ever deceive you. He will never, ever let you cry. It might look like a mountain. It might look like a faraway distance. It might look like a heavy load to put on your back. It might look like something that you cannot go up to, that he is calling you to. Oh, my brother, oh, my sister, when it is this God that is saying, go, don't hesitate. Go. If he's saying, sit,
whatsoever is it in your blood or your muscle, whatsoever is in your head, if he says sit. What is he saying to you for your life? What is he saying to you about his house? What is he saying to you about your ministry to him? What is he saying to you? Whatever he is saying to you, say, here I am. Here I am. No matter the difficulty, here I am. Let's stand. Let's say that all together. Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. For this God will never let you down. This God will never let you down. Ha. Ha. To the point where he said, if you believe in me, even if you die, you shall live. He is the master of life. Death has no power over him. The time is behind him. The time is under him. The space has no power against him. And nobody on this earth can do nothing against him. If this God says, what's your name? Just say, here I am. Let's repeat it together again. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Father, it's your word. It's your will. And we say, here I am. God, you do not need us. For you have the power to do whatsoever you want. You have all the means to do whatsoever you want. You can use animals. You can even use the stone. For you said, if those people, they stop worshiping God, those stones that are not alive will start worshiping God. You have everything to do your will. But you have made us in your image, in your likeness, so we can be like you. And Lord, it's a privilege for us that you count with us. It's a blessing for us that you count with us. Lord, we will count on you. We want to count on you in every area of our life, and we want to count on you every day of our life. Help us. Help us, God. Help us. Let every one of us be clear about your voice. Let every one of us be acquainted with your voice. Let us be used to your voice, that we do not doubt when you call, when you talk, when you order, And when you send us, help us. For we stand. By faith. As Abraham. And we say, here I am. Bless your people. Fill them with your anointing. Sustain every one of them in their walk with you. Bless their head and bless their feet. Bless their mind and bless their heart. Bless their everything. Bless them as they go out of their house. Bless them as they wander around. And bless them when they come in their houses. My God, I pray in the very name of Jesus Christ. I pray in the powerful and victorious name of Jesus Christ. I pray in the saving name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.